Welcome to our Kingdom Culture podcast. For today's message, we are thankful for what God is doing through this podcast to encourage and transform lives around the world. If you have a story to share about how God has encouraged or transformed your life through this podcast, we would love to hear about it by emailing us at mystory@kingdomculture.ca. If you would like to support this ministry financially to help us bring messages like this to you every week, you can do so online at kingdomculture.ca at the Give option. We also would love to connect with you on our social media, on Instagram and Twitter at KC Ottawa, and Facebook at Facebook/Kingdom Culture Ottawa. We pray that you would experience God today and be encouraged through today's message. Enjoy!
As I was praying for this morning, as I was praying for this experience, I really felt that today's word would unlock someone's destiny this morning. And I don't know about you, but I believe that if someone receives from God their destiny this morning, a word that will really cause a shift that would not only create an impact in themselves, but also would create an impact in their family. And that word would also impact this church, and it also impact this nation, and it will impact the way that we will see transformation. So anytime we come before the presence of God is an opportunity for us to really say, God, I'm here. Here am I. My yes is to you. What do you want to do this morning? Amen? Does anybody want a word that will unlock destiny in your heart? Amen? Amen. Amen. Few people want that, and I'm believing for that this morning. I'm really believing that something will shift in the atmosphere, in our lives, and God is in the move. And I really believe, and God has been speaking to me about even all the heroes of faith. For them, something key is that they made a decision, and that decision unlocked their destiny. So today, we have an opportunity to make decisions, and that's why the title of my word today is Decisions That Unlock Destinies. And I'm believing for that. I'm believing that we will see. I know that sometimes it's easy when we begin a year to say, hey, this is what I want to see in 2024. We're almost halfway through the year, and you may be feeling either discouraged or super encouraged with what you accomplished so far. Let me say, it's never too late. God can still move. He will move in your life. Amen? And I believe that in this season, we are in a warring season, like Pastor Sean has been saying. It's time for us to wake up. And passive faith won't take you anywhere. It's time for action. It's time, even waiting on God. You can say, oh, I'm waiting on Jesus. Even that looks like something. The best picture of waiting on God that I can have is the picture of a waiter. I'm always coming before God's table and saying, hey, how can I serve you? What can I do? I'm constantly approaching the King of Kings, the throne room, and saying, God, here am I. Here am I. And it's an action. Amen? And I believe that your decisions will take you places, and they work and will work pretty much like seeds. You begin seeing fruits of these seeds. You begin to see progress. You begin to see, in the beginning you won't see much because the roots are going deep. But then you'll see like a little sign, hey, something is popping out of the ground. This is a result. And every miracle that we see in the Bible is a reflection of a decision or something that was pulled, like a necessity in heaven, resulted into a miracle of God. It was a response to something that was taking place on earth. And even if you look at all the miracles of Jesus, he would ask, what do you want me to do? Or people would just mobilize. They would go a long way just to touch Jesus. They would say, they would make a decision. I need something for my life. And I believe it's a time and a season that I want to encourage us to be on the move. Don't wait for your pastor. Don't wait for Pastor Sean to shake you to come and do your leader, your connect group leader. It's time for you to take action in this season. Amen? Something that I love is that when we make a decision in Jesus, one day we can be like Joseph in a prison. The other day we can be ruling over Egypt, the biggest nation of the time. One day, like Peter, we could be just fishing. And the other day we could be the rock that Jesus built his church. We could be leading the church. In one moment, in one decision, it's a fruit of many decisions that we make. And I want to encourage you today to make decisions for your life, decisions that will create impacts. And it can be small decisions, as long as starting tomorrow, you haven't been seeking the Lord, you haven't been seeking His Word. I want to begin my week differently. I want to begin my week seeking God. I want to begin my week praying more to God. I want to begin my week building more a relationship with Jesus. Again, Adam fell in paradise in a perfect location. Jesus won in the desert. It has nothing to do with your current circumstances. It has nothing to do with what's around you. So I want to encourage this morning, leave those excuses outside of the door and say, Jesus, I want to say yes to what you're doing in my life. Ask Him. Ask Him and say, oh, I can't recognize the voice of God. I can't listen to the voice of God. Are you asking? How much are you seeking this morning? This is what I want to challenge you. And let me say, I'm speaking from a place that God has speaking to me. My prayer this morning is that may this word penetrate my life. There are some things that I will share here, some decisions that I believe that we should make that I've been praying over on my own life. Amen. So the last few times that I spoke, I wasn't technically supposed to speak last week. I pulled some of the message that I was going to speak this week from last week. But the last few times, I've been really in my personal time with God, been hearing Him through the Psalms and studying more and going deep into the Psalms. So this year, we already spent 2 Sundays studying Psalms 23. We spent last Sunday studying Psalms 121. And this week, we'll go deep into the very first Psalm, Psalm 1. And I believe there are some decisions here and some things that will reflect power of making decisions for Jesus in this psalm. So we're going to read it, all the verses. It's only 6 verses. It's short. Some people know memorized. It's one of their favorite passages. So I know this will speak to you. Verse 1, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked or stand in the way of the sinners. Or sit in the company of the mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates on His law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of waters, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaves does not wither. And whatever they do prospers. I'll say that again. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgments, not sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destructions. Psalms 1 speaks about a contrast. All throughout the verses is a contrast of who walks with God and who doesn't walk with God. And I believe this has been the number one fight today in our lives. When you look at the church, when you first got saved, you shifted the way that you used to live. But maybe some of you, I'm not here to judge, but I'm looking even in my own hearts. Some things that you didn't accept right away when you accepted Jesus in your heart, some things that you cut, either things that were not bringing life to you, you changed your vocabulary, you changed the way that you did, you cut some stuff, some addictions that you have. Now, a few years later in life, in your journey, you begin to accept those. It's a sign that you're, you know, like that contrast is not as clear as black and white, it's not going the opposite direction. And I think the biggest fight is that we as a church are not like we're being too easy in accepting some things. I'm not saying like everybody here is accepted as they are, but they're not meant to stay the way they are. Jesus is inviting you for a life that will change you, that will bring transformation, but everyone is welcome as they are. Jesus is welcoming you. He loves you. He wants to touch you the way that you are. But I believe that the way that He wants you to walk is very different after you begin a journey of walk with Jesus. And the first invitation that we have is choose to be different. We are called to be different. We're not called, people, when they see us, the way that we respond, the way that we do life, they gotta see a difference. I'll read verse 1. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of the mockers. And this is the crisis that we're doing. Like, we are called to be different, but sometimes a lot of us are looking just like before we receive Jesus. And this psalm is a progressive psalm. If you look at some of the characteristics, even on the people and the states, and the state that they were, like, first you're stopping with the wicked, sinners, and mockers. And first you started walking with them. Then you stopped. You're standing with them. And it says in the last part of the verse, and then you sit in the company of the mockers. So first you begin accepting something. Okay, I'm going to walk alongside these people. Then that makes you stop and question your faith, the things that you used to believe, those values that God put in your hearts. And now when you look at yourself by accepting, you're sitting among these people, you're making fun. I don't know, have you ever, like, when you got saved, some of the jokes that you felt were funny in the beginning before you were saved were not as funny anymore? And then you begin accepting them with time. And this is the invitation. It's called us to a contrast, to always remind that we are called to be different. When people are not fair to us, when people are not treating us the way that they should, it's very hard for me to take that into my driving, you know, not to be respond the way that I should. But we are always called to be different and to respond in a different way. When people judge us, what is your response when someone is speaking bad about you and you already presented Jesus to them? How are you going to respond? And I think this is an invitation that this Psalms presents in questions like, who have you been walking with? You want to grow, you want to prosper, you want to reach the destiny of God for your life. But you got to begin, who I've been walking with, who I'm being spending time, who are the people that inspire me in this season? Who are the people that are pulling me closer to the destiny of God in my life? These are questions that, as I look into verse 1, I want to ask, where do you stand on some specific subjects? Are you afraid of sharing your beliefs with those that you're walking with? Are you basing your decisions on feelings, on you're walking with people and they're just complaining about crisis that it's going on around in the world these days, inflation going through the roofs? Are you basing your decisions based on those natural conditions that the market is offering? Or are you basing your decisions in God, in the way that you walk? And the last question is, because it talks about walking with, standing on some things, and the final question is, what is feeding you in this season? What tables have you been seating? I believe there's so much gold in this psalm as we dive in and we see, God, there's something here. There are some things that need to be different in this season in my life. Maybe you begin accepting your language is not as it used to be when you became a Christian. Some of the words coming out of your mouth. And even like declarations, there's so much power in declarations that I believe the church doesn't use its full power. I'm including myself in this. We can begin to declare more miracles, shifting more things in society by the things that we declare. And I think God is inviting, and I don't only think, I know that God is inviting us in this time, in this season, to wake up and to be different. This is what's going to set us apart. We are called to be holy, and holy means set apart. We are called to be set apart in this season. We are not called to be normal. We're not called, man, an ordinary life will bore you. And maybe you're saying, hey, Eduardo, I'm bored even as a Christian. There's something there that you might need to dig in. There's something in your relationship with God that, because let me tell you, Christian life is never meant to be boring. It's okay to admit with God, He wants to hear your hearts, but He wants to invite you into an experience to see, hey, maybe you're not acting and functioning the way that you have been. Like, I remember we were launching Dunamis in Brazil, we had a goal of ministering to 8 people throughout the week, every week. And let me tell you, it was challenging, but it was a muscle that began to work with me. I'm going to begin to be a voice of the Father and hear God for people on the streets and pray for people. And sometimes we begin to accept, okay, maybe I don't need to speak with eight different people this week. Maybe I'll speak with five and then two. And then when you look, you're not even sharing the word. You're just receiving a word here every Sunday, receiving a word with your personal time with God, hoping that you have a personal time relationship with Jesus. But you're not sharing those things. And this is what I believe that we need to really be practical, is what is feeding you in this season? How much of the word are you taking? How much are you also sharing from what you're receiving? You're called to make a difference in the marketplace. Your pulpit may not be the same as mine. Your pulpit may be your place of work, your place of influence, or a sports that you like in the sports arena. That's your pulpit. That's where God placed influence over your life. And it begins in your family, but also goes back, like I was saying last week, it has to start in the first place where your heart is, so that you can begin to walk full potential with what God called you to be. The reality is that we want open heavens for our lives. Amen? How many of us want? But so many times our Bibles are closed. Our relationship with God is closed. And we are expecting to see miracles. Let me tell you, God wants those things for you. But he needs your yes. Your hunger is what's going to move the King of Kings to act in your life. Amen? I hear many people say, oh, die for Jesus. I'll do this and that. Or people saying, I'll die for my children. And I was thinking, man, instead of like, it's a beautiful speech, but maybe you should start leaving for Jesus, leaving for your children, spending time, being intentional. Like, it's beautiful, a beautiful picture. I want to one day die for Jesus. But start leaving every single day for Jesus. Asking, what do you want me to do? That's what Jesus modeled to us. He would perform miracles and go back straight to the heart of the Father and say, God, what do you want me to do? What is in your hearts? I need more of you. Because he knew it doesn't rely on his own strength. Amen? Really, what's like, I'm really praying that this next season we will see awakening. And I think that the biggest thing for our generation, especially, and I said this before from this platform, is because we are paid by an hour, we know how much our hour is worth. Sometimes we have a difficulty, oh, I'm giving 1 hour of my week to God, 2 hours of my week to God. Instead, I could be doing something on my side, hustle, I could be doing this and that. And Jesus just becomes a little part of your agenda. And let me tell you, he never wants to be just a little part of your agenda. He wants to become your agenda. He has the best interest for you. He knows what's best for you. And let me tell you, you don't have to worry. His word says in Matthew 6, you don't have to worry about what you're going to dress, what you're going to eat, what you're going to do. He takes good care of you. We have the ability of cast our anxieties. And let me tell you, if you don't, what's going to happen is you're going to strive for those things, and you're never going to feel satisfied. Because those things God calls the extra. Those are not the priority. Seek my kingdom first, and all these things will be added into you. But we have flipped the occasion so much with our life with God. We seek first what's supposed to be added. We give way more time to what's supposed to be added. And then with the time that we have left, oh, maybe this week I don't have anything. Like, man, no soccer Sunday, no soccer games happening. I can go to church. That extra becomes, so we flip the occasion. I believe in this season God is calling, man, no, I want to see things different in my life. I always remember when I started work right after I graduated from U.S., I went to work into this big telecommunications company. I was even telling something about that to Joel this morning coming to church. And it was a big company, and it was my first ever job. And man, it was so interesting seeing the way that people, how they did their work, people, the way that they, the ethics behind, and the way the conversations that would happen on lunch times, you would hear all these crazy stories of, you know, like relationships that would go in inside the company, nobody knew about it. And I remember that every time a conversation were like, man, we went out for lunch and they were talking about other women, other girls, I would stay quiet. And people started noticing that. And then for a season, they would call me, even in the company, hey, look at the virgin boy. That's how they would call me. But they were seeing something different in me, that I wasn't taking part in those conversations. And something that I begin to notice is that when things started to go hard for some of them, the first person they would seek help and ask for, they would come to me. But when it was in front of everybody, everybody was trying to show off, oh, I stayed this weekend with three different girls, like they were, the conversation would shift. But when something in their personal lives weren't going the way that they wanted, they knew who to ask. And I believe that that's the difference that God is inviting us to. The way that we do the work, people can say, can always find, especially in Brazil, can get creative on how to go around and find a shortcut to do some things faster. But no, God is choosing you to be the best. That's why Matt was telling about Team Track. No, we're here to say, hey, no, we actually want to set up the best place, because we believe what Liz is saying. We're investing for people to encounter God in this place. That's why we come here super early, guys. I think we could all have extra hours of sleep. We all love that. But we see value in seeing lives changed. Even if it was for one person. Even if it was for one person to encounter Jesus, I believe that one person could shift. Like we have Josephs, like we have Davids, like we have so many people in the Bible that have seen transformation. And what I love is that about being different is that so many times we ask God for breakthrough in our business. And I always think of Peter. When he decided to choose and to go after Jesus, do you remember what moment that was? It was the moment of the craziest breakthrough in his business. He had so much fish. He would be so rich. He had access to a reality. And yet he said, you know what? I value this guy more, what he has to offer to me. And I want to choose that instead of just a prosperous business for me. And I love that response for Peter. And that always reminds me along my journey is that growing up in church, I would always see people saying, hey, pray that I'll find a wife. And then because we want to serve together, I have all this beautiful picture. And then when people would get married, they disappear from the church. They get isolated. Or somebody, pray that my business prospers because I want to invest more time into the kingdom and invest more finances into the kingdom. Hey, you pray for them, you see a transformation, and then years after, you find that person, hey, man, I missed you. And said, yeah, man, it's been super crazy, my business, I can't go to church as much anymore. And you see the first value and the first reaction of their prayers at first was to seek more God. And I want to encourage, don't let the blessings that God gives in your life rob you from new waves of blessing. God doesn't want to stop. Peter saw that. He saw beyond just a normal and a quick blessing of many fish. And I want to encourage you to always keep your eyes on Jesus, because he always wants more. And he has no limit. He wants to bless us no limit. Amen? Another thing, I think, started to jumping ahead with, but amen. Number two, choose intimacy. Verse 2 says, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. And he's talking about being blessed, being super abundance. Those that are blessed are those that have, whose delight is in the law of the Lord and meditates on it day and night. And this is not to sound for you as an obligation. This is not the invitation here. No, it's just inviting that your lifestyle is set on a foundation. And the foundation is knowing the value that the Bible, the Word of God, has for our lives. And it's choosing, hey, this is where I want to build my life. This is the invitation of the Psalm. You could have many things, and what is inviting you more than all the things that you can have access is to choose intimacy. Is to choose intimacy. And let me tell you, this is the way that you're going to access God's secrets in your life. It's not by any other thing. It's by spending time with God. Spending time, pouring your hearts. And weekends, I know that we all love to receive like a prophetic word. I would always love when we were in Brazil hosting guest speakers from all over the world. And like that prophetic word would come and would mark your life, I believe those are powerful and those are significant. But there's a greater invitation for us to listen to God in our day-to-day lives by a relationship that we build between us. In the beginning, we're babies in faith. We need some guidance. And sometimes God really needs to intervene and bring a word that will awaken us. But I believe there's an invitation here that goes much deeper, a price for you to pay that is much deeper, which is deciding and choosing the foundation that I have, which is, man, I'm not going to rely simply on a word of Sunday that I can come here and listen, and that's going to give me strength throughout the week. No, I'm going to rely in my relationship with Jesus. And this on Sunday is just going to be overflow. Amen? Are you guys with me? Yes. Awaken. I see some people tired. So let's wake up and move on. I want to remind you that miracles are not for those who deserve it. We receive miracles and it's not because we deserved. But miracles are for the ones that don't give up. Heaven doesn't move based on our needs. It moves on our hunger. I want to be there. I want to see breakthrough. I want to see restoration. I want to see. And if you look throughout the Bible, like those that experienced miracles, they were faithful. They were there. And they begin to build a track record with God and see, hey, if God said something, it means that it's already established. It doesn't matter what earth is saying, what the circumstances are saying. If God gave you a conviction, if he gave you a word for something, he's inviting you to begin act upon that thing. And everything that you need will follow after. We heard Liz's testimony with her book that she's writing. And even last week we were chatting about. And it all began for her with a step of faith. You know, I'm going to sit in front of my computer. I'm going to be faithful every single day. From Monday to Saturday, writing early in the morning and trusting that God would bring inspiration, the resources, the ideas. But it began for her with one step and with everything following after, the agents and everything. But because God gave her a word, God is going to provide all the way. So don't ever go where you don't have a word from God. And never go places where your prayer hasn't gone first. And I remember even in my own life when it was 2015, I was going through a very hard time financially. I was even relying on some help. I began living by myself. I was in the midst, I bought this apartment 3 years, and it was time to get the keys. In Brazil, it takes way more time to build apartment buildings. Anyways, and I took possession, but it was very hard season for the business that I was working with that was my stepfather's business. And he couldn't pay me the agreement salary. And I understood because I saw the numbers. I saw that it were not lining up. And it was a very, very hard time. And I was like every month depending upon God. And by that time, I began dating Juliana. And once you're starting to date someone, you want to treat them nice, take them to all these nice places, nice restaurants. And it was, we started dating for about 5 months when I felt from God, it says, she's the one. And I said, okay, so I need to go buy a ring in Brazil. And because I graduated in the States, in Brazil, it's not normal to have like the diamond for engagement ring that States, Canada, we all have it. But because I studied in the U.S., I said, I want to get her engagement ring that it looks really nice. So I begin searching for flights. Way before COVID, there were some great deals, and it was end of the year that year, December of 2015, and we had a good friends that were actually Juliana's friends, but I also knew them. They were getting married in Miami that year, later in May, actually April, and then I said, man, maybe we should go. I have a friend there, and maybe she can help me out. So I began looking for flights. Found an amazing deal, $350 round trip, São Paulo, Miami. That's like nothing. It's cheap. I didn't have all the money, so I paid in 10 different installments. It was tough. And I called my friend in the U.S. Hey, I have no credit in the U.S. I have this ring that I want to get it. here's my budgets. I wanted something nice. I know that God will come through. Can you help me out? And also, because you have built credit in the U.S., I'll pay you every month. Let's see how many times they can break this apart. So at the same time, I did this, the same thing, went to see my friend. She was able to give me her credit, and every month would come in, and I was believing for the amounts that I would have enough to provide to her. After I had all these things lined up, I receive a random message. Wasn't looking for any other jobs. I was helping my stepfather at the moment. I received this random message on my LinkedIn. Hey, are you looking for a job? We have an opportunity for you. My first response was, no, I'm not looking for a job, because I wasn't. I felt like the last word God gave me was stay here with my stepfather, so I'm going to stay here, and I know provision will come. The next day, I felt like Holy Spirit was saying, maybe you should engage that person again. I said, hey, I'm actually not looking for a job, but I'm open to listen to that offer that you have me. And the person said, okay, let's set up a meeting. And I didn't know the offer. And I began through going through rounds of interviews, meeting with the directors, meeting with, and said, because of your experience, because of what you've been through, and by that time I had lived in China, they said, we think that you are the perfect person for this job. And it was the most easy process of interviews, although there were a lot of them. And at the end, they offered me a job that was the highest ever paying salary in my life. It was a 6 figures a year. And I said, what? And the thing is, he said, this is, but we cannot tell you for sure, like the process will close on May 5th, they said. So I did all this, bought the ring, came back to Brazil May 4th, Star Wars fans. I proposed, it wasn't because of that. Nothing to do with that, but it was the date and the place that I had planned. I did propose to my wife. The next morning, I get an email, hey, you have been accepted for this job. The thing is that that job was going to a city that was like 3 hours away from São Paulo, so I would have to move. And it was going south. And when I told my wife, she wasn't the happiest, because it's south of São Paulo, it's a little bit more colder than it is São Paulo. So you guys know where we are. So no worries on that. But the next morning said, you know what? Your position has been shifted to São Paulo. You can stay in the office of São Paulo. And man, during those times, I said, man, we now have to set a date. And we started meeting with all these wedding locations, meeting with the planners and stuff. And we booked for March 4th on the next year, 10 months after. As soon as a month goes by that I'm in this new job, Juliana's father loses her job that he has been for 15 years. He was almost like CEO of Mattel, like all the Barbie companies. And today I regret, because Ethan and Nico could have all the, not the Barbies, but all the little toys, the baby toys, that I forget the brand that is goes beside with Mattel, that has all the baby supplies that you ever need. But anyways, he got laid off because of a big crisis. And I said, Juliana was started questioning me, say, should we move the wedding date? I said, no, if God gave us this date, we're going to go forward with this, because this is the word of God. 4 months into my job, I'm ready to go to China. I've been developing all these products since I got 70 different products. I was ready with a check. I met with the guy that has been the CEO of this company, guy that has been on Fortune 500. The access levels that I got in that company was like no other job that I had. On my way to the airports, I get a call from my director. Don't go. We need to talk. This is 5 months before I got married. She came and said, hey, you know what? The government of Brazil is owning a lot of money for the company. They're shutting off any new projects. Out of, I think they had 15,000 employees, 4,000 employees are being let go, including you. It was tough. And another temptation came to me of saying, man, you should postpone the wedding. And I said, no, let's move in faith. Started emailing all different suppliers that I knew, doing what I could, and praying, God, you are ahead of this. I met with so many suppliers, and the first thing that, before dating Juliana, I asked her, and I won't go into too many details of this, is that where do you feel God's leading you? Because I believe I have a call for the nations, and I want to see if you're open to that. And I want to encourage you, anybody that you're meeting, have the same vision, because otherwise that will cause division, that will cause divorce. You got to have the same vision as the person that you're getting married to. So that was one of my first questions, because I wanted to see if she was open. So I know a lot of people in Brazil, people that I had relationships in the past, didn't want to leave Brazil. I had a cousin that went through a divorce because he got a job offer in Germany and had to deny it, and things didn't go the way that he wanted. So that was one of my first things. And 2 days after I got laid off, I get this random call on my phone, a guy that I knew, a supplier in Connecticut, and the guy started saying, hey, my name is Les, I'm here, we have an opening position for you, please call me back. And he begins saying, and then the number, the line started to scratch, and I didn't hear the number back, so I couldn't call him back. I begin searching all my emails, and I found a Skype username. I said, oh, I'm going to call him through Skype. And the Skype username, I told this story before once at KC, was trusting him. I never seen somebody with that username on Skype. It's either my name is like EF, Kurt, like initials and last name. His Skype name was like trusting him. Long story short, I got the job for Connecticut, but my visa would only be ready 2 weeks after I got married. So it gave me enough time to work from Brazil, when back in the day we were working from offices. So I could stay in Brazil until the day I got married, could go off to a honeymoon and come back and begin the new job. All of that I'm saying is because we gotta trust the word that God gave us. And that track record only comes with intimacy. Once you begin seeing God move, if he said something over your life, he will make it come to pass. If he gave you a word, don't doubt it. Of course, the circumstances are not going to be always the most favorable, but he's building something in your life. He's doing something in you. So if he said so, what circumstances are bigger than our God? And that same conviction, you see all the heroes of faith. You see David facing that he used to face some challenges, but one day he faced Goliath, who is a giant before the presence of my God. So we need to stop naming our limitations and begin naming breakthrough and begin naming the things that God spoke over our life. So I just want to encourage you, in this season, God is inviting us to choose intimacy. Choose intimacy. And the last point is number 3, choose connection. Verse 3 says, that person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do, prosper. We got to understand that the kingdom doesn't work the same way that our natural world works. You can look at people that are beside you and they're giving their fruits, and you can say, look at the market, hey, now it's not a good time to begin a business. Don't rely on the circumstances. Rely on the word of God, because he's able to make you prosper even through times of crisis. And the condition or the invitation that we find in this verse is that person is like a tree planted by streams of water. And there's an invitation here for us to choose to be planted. And where to be planted? Psalms 92:13 says, those who are planted in the house of God shall flourish in the courts of our God. There's so much blessing, and we talk about that in the team track, for us to not be a potted plant, but to be planted in the garden of heaven, or in the garden of his kingdom. Because here on team, doing life with other people that are believing for the same things as you, you'll be able to exchange and like lift each other up. Community is so key, guys. I don't have much time to go into so many examples that I have about community, but choosing to be planted and choosing to say, I don't want to be isolated in this season. I want to be connected. I want to give my yes and to see what God can do. Let me tell you, I saw this video from Pastor Sean, and the place that he is in Pará is the place where you guys all tried acai before here. Don't go to like the fake stores. If you want one in Ottawa, there's acai bowl. That's the way I know you guys say acai bowl. There's one in a mall here. I forget the name of the mall right now. But the one near IKEA, the mall, that big mall, what's it called? Bayshore. There's a good acai spot. They bring it straight from Brazil. But even that acai is not the same as what Pastor Sean is probably experiencing right now. The fruit, because the fruit is a native fruit that grows where Sean is, especially because of the climate. Even if they tried to grow acai in São Paulo, it wouldn't happen because of all the climate, the different rain schedules, I believe those trees cannot grow on a temperature that is lower than 30 degrees. So it's important to be in a season where it is consistent temperature. So any native plants, we know about that. There are plants that grow in Canada that don't grow in Brazil. If I try to bring one acai plant and grow it in my backyard, what's going to happen? It's going to die. It doesn't make sense. You won't give fruit. It might grow a little bit, but it will never give fruit or even similar. I was reading reports of people trying to do that in Miami, and it didn't work. They failed. Why am I saying all this? It's because I believe we are not called to be a native plant. But we are called to be a planted plant. And in the kingdom, some things are not going to make sense. Naturally, it doesn't make sense for me, for my wife, to be here in Canada. It would be way more comfortable in some ways to be back in Brazil. Language-wise, man, I always felt the call of God just to speak, to share the gospel. Let me tell you, it's much easier sharing in Portuguese. it still takes level of preparation, but it's naturally flows. But things with the kingdom, man, the kingdom is upside down. It's not the way that it's supposed to be. God's going to call you, and some of the things that he's going to place in your life are not going to make sense. Giving on church doesn't make sense, naturally looking. But supernaturally, it makes a lot of sense. It's actually, and we are called to live above these realities. I was thinking about this, and it didn't even, if you look in the Bible, it didn't make sense for David to be king. His own father, when they were going to anoint one of his sons to be king, didn't even pick him. It didn't make sense for David to beat up a Goliath. And what God is encouraging you this morning and has been encouraging me is that don't walk by what makes sense. It's much nicer when Pastor Sean is here speaking. You don't have to deal with like a crazy accent. But you can take it up with management because it was management that placed me here and planted me here. Yeah. And I want to encourage you to everywhere. You may be in places and be placed in your company and you're going to feel weird. Let me encourage you, don't give up. Don't quit. We're going to be tempted to quit. This is going to be August year 7 that I'm here in Canada. Year 1, temptation to quit, go back to Brazil. Year 2, temptation to quit, go back to Brazil. Year 3, it goes on. We're always going to be tempted. There's always going to be an easy way out. There's always going to be a more comfortable way out. My question to you, is that what God is saying? If it is, man, follow God. I always say to that, like, we had some people come and go, leave Kingdom Culture. I said, no problem. Is God giving you a word? If he is, man, you'll be blessed, and I bless you. Church is meant to be like an airport. People come, they get equipped, and they get launched to the season. I would be like, I grew up in Brazil, going to church there. I still love the church that I was a part in Brazil. I still speak with the people there. But God launched me here. So I'm here just to say and to encourage you to choose to be planted. Because if you're planted, man, you're going to trust God. Hey, this is my season. Or if it's not your season, he's going to put you somewhere else. So when markets go bad, when things are not going the way, you have a place to stand. And I love this promise here. It yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Man, I want to receive, I want to speak that reality over my life. Everything that I do, week in, week out, will prosper. Even if the natural eyes, the natural circumstances doesn't look like we prosper. You may be looking around, man, there's a lot of empty seats in this church. All it takes is one day. And you say, man, I'm so thankful to be a part of those early days of being investing here. When God comes, because let me tell you, I've been a part of ministries like that. When I joined our first church back in Brazil, there were barely 100 people. And most of the church was 80 plus years old because it was a church of Japanese people. They had their own Japanese experience and also the Portuguese experience. They barely have. Now they have 6 services a Sunday. Imagine being there for, like, and I know a lot of people that come and serve on 4 of those Sundays every week. Every Sunday filled with over 1,000 people, some with like 2,000 people. So all it takes is one day, just like with Joseph, just like with David, God is seeing your hearts, your decision. It goes a much longer way. All it matters is how deep are you putting down your foundation? Are you being planted? It's not going to be what the world even looks or even values as success. No, it's what God knows that it's being built in you. Amen? A native tree points to the tree that grew and died in the place that it made sense. A planted tree points, and this is the beautiful thing about being planted, is points to the one that planted you. What's going to make sense is that people are going to see Jesus. Man, it was impossible. It's impossible, you know, for Matt to open a business in a difficult time and to be prospering when other businesses are struggling. But when they see the only way that they can justify is, man, there must be something higher going on. And that's Jesus. That's Jesus going a long way for us. The worship team can come back on stage, and we're going to close here soon. I want to read these 2 verses to you. In John 15:8 says, when you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. That brings glory to my Father. John 3 verses before, yes, I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. We are planted by him. Without him, we can do nothing. But we will know, and we are true disciples if we are producing fruits. So I want to invite you in this season and say, God, I want to be fruitful. I want to produce fruits. I want to invest into other people. I just don't want to come here week in, week out just to receive. I want to see, bring those that work with me to church. The reality is that people, like you, if I were to ask everybody here who came because of a big conference, of a big Christian event to Jesus, and probably would see probably 1 or 2 hands tops. Most people come into a relationship with Jesus by someone that was either their friend or a family member that has been walking with them, praying for them, walking the journey of intimacy. So you are called to be a channel of life to somebody you're going to meet in the marketplace. Amen? Before we close here, I just want to read these last 2-3 verses. Not so the wicked, they are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgments, nor the sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. The reality is that I was talking about in the beginning is that sometimes we're seeing little contrast between what's righteous and what's wicked. And another parable that relates to that, and if you're a specialist in crops and stuff, you would know. Matthew 13, verses 24 to 30 says, another parable he put forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in the field. But while the man slept, his enemy came and sowed tares amongst the weeds. If you look at those 2, a picture of them, they look very similar. It says, but when the grain had sprouted and produced crop, then the tares also appeared. So the servants of the owner came and said to him, sir, did you not sow good seed in this field? how did does he have tares? He said to them, an enemy has done it so. The servant said to him, do you want us to go and gather them up? But he said, no. Lest while you gather them up, get out of the tares, you also uproot the weeds with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At the time of the harvest, I will say to the reaper, first gather the tares and bind them in bundles or to burn them, but gather the weeds into my barn. The big difference and what causes the separation is they will grow and they will look just like each other. But different is what is inside. Once, if you ask a farmer, once the wind blows, the weeds will bend but not break. And the other, the tares, would break or fall apart. And this is the invitation of Jesus is, I'm interested with what's inside, in your hearts. When wind comes, when some situations come, how would you respond? He's inviting us for a decision to be different.